Come and join me here. Right over here. Y'all come over here. We're borrowing Mr. Gary's stage lights again. This is the economy version of stage lighting. Hey, man, I like the tie. Hey, Mr. Don, where's Mr. Don? Is he back there? Huh? He's in the back. Well, y'all make sure you comment on that that tie that he's wearing, that Seahawks tie.
That's my favorite team.
He was, yeah, I knew it'd get you all wound up then. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
Well, it's kind of hard for y'all to see me right here, but you don't need to see me. I'm going to show you something right now and see if y'all can guess what this is. Look on the... Look on the floor. Look on the floor. What's moving? No, what do you call that? A shadow. In fact, oh, there's your shadow right behind you. Right behind you, there's a shadow. There's a shadow. All right. I'm going to tell you a story today. Did you know that the Bible talks? Man, did you fall down? Man, that new tie and everything. Golly. You okay?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Do you know that shadows are in the Bible? Okay. That's right. I'll fear no evil. That's right. And that's in the Old Testament. That's in the Psalms. Do you know there's shadows in the book of Acts? Things were happening. I mean, they were clicking. People were coming to know Jesus. I mean, thousands of them. Thousands of them. People were being healed. And so much was happening. Peter and John, the apostles, they were out telling people about Jesus. And so much was happening that they would drag their sick people out to the edge of the street on their pallets. Now, these are people that couldn't walk, people who had all kinds of diseases. People who couldn't speak, people that were blind, people who were possessed by demons, they drag them all out by the street. You know why? Anybody know why? It's about shadows. Because the power of God was so great that they believed that when Peter and the apostles walked by, if even the shadow, their shadow came over their loved ones, that they'd be healed, and they were. Man, isn't that great? I mean, to have that kind of the exercise of the power of God. Now, it wasn't about Peter, and it wasn't about the apostles. It was about God and what He was doing in their lives. I want to pray with y'all today and pray that God will begin that kind of work in y'all's lives. You know what? One day, very soon, y'all are going to be the big people out there. And y'all are going to have little children. I want to get you ready. Okay? I'm glad that makes you happy. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for these children. I pray, God, Lord, as you're working in their lives, Lord, I'm praying against the work of the devil to snatch away the seed of truth in their lives. And Lord, I'm praying that at this very young age, they'll come to see the power of God, that Jesus does save people, that Jesus forgives people, that Jesus heals people. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. All right, we can go to Kid Zone now. Well, Happy New Year, everybody. How are you today? All right. I'm good, Miss Jerry. Before I present this message today, which is almost like a part B of the message that Brother Rick brought in his teaching this morning at our 9:30 time, first of all, I want to say to you again, Happy New Year. And I don't know about you. I know every year we get to this time. Have you made any resolutions? made any promises? Are some things, let me ask it to you this way. Are there some things you want to be different in the new year? Anybody? When we get to this time next year, if Jesus tarries, are there some things you want to be different by then? Let's start today. Let's start now. Let's start today. Let's don't put it off into that indescribable future. That future that's like the black hole that just sucks everything into it. But let's start today. A couple of presuppositions we have that I want to get these on the table before we come to this passage in Acts. Do we really believe that Jesus is the Messiah? He's the Savior of the world. Do we really believe that there's a heaven and there's a hell, and people are actually going to spend eternity in one place or the other? Do we really believe that? Careful now. I'm trapping you. Do we really believe that we have sin in our lives and God wants to change us and take the sin out of our lives and make life better? Do we really believe that? Okay. With that in mind, title of today's message is New Life for New Year. It is a brand new year full of possibilities, full of probabilities, and full of things that, I just cleaned out part of one of my closets. You know why I cleaned it out? That's right, Daniel. I got some new clothes for Christmas. And you know what? They wouldn't fit in my closet. That's right. And that's exactly what I did. In fact, I'm not going to ask how many of y'all shop at Goodwill, because I do. And you can find some great deals. Sometimes you find stuff that's still got the tags on it in there. But I couldn't fit any more clothes in. And Audrey let me know. She said, you know, you at least ought to have clothing that's from the same decade. She said, if you're waiting on some of that stuff you got crammed in that closet, you're waiting for it to come back around. Baby, it ain't coming back around. It's not going to make it. You're not going to live long enough to see it come around like that. So, I mean, I've got a suit in my closet that's a 38 long. Man, I can't get one leg in a 38 long. That's right, Daniel. Exactly. So, new life, new year. I start with this story. When I was a kid, my mom was a believer, my dad was not. Mom was raised in a Christian home. My dad was kind of nominal. But I remember how things were. There was this dichotomy in our lives. When I was 10 years old, an event took place in our family that changed our family and changed my life and changed my brother's life and changed everybody around that, around us. My dad became Christian. He got new life. New life came into our home. Everything changed. Now, at the end of this message, that's going to be my a theme for you today, is that the new life of Jesus changes everything. Changes everything about your life, about the people around you, and the people around you can't help but be touched by what goes on. Now, I'm going to tell you the story of Acts chapter 5. And I've got a few bullet points to help tell you the story. But in fact, for a little while, we're going to be looking in the book of Acts. We got a lot of things that God's put on our hearts for this new year to share. Because I don't know about you, but I can feel in my spirit a groundswell underneath of things beginning, of God beginning to do some things. And I want to cooperate with Him in this new year. How about you? What'd you say, Teresa? Love flood's coming. Yes, sir. Like Upong used to say, prayed down in Haiti, a baptism of love, a baptism of love, baptism of love. You can feel it, you know? It's kind of like when, but before that great wind, before the hurricane got here, you could feel things. The air was being moved. People that have been through earthquakes tell you they could, but before the big thing gets there, they can feel the beginnings of the shaking. In the scripture, they talk about birth pains. We just have gone through this in our family, right now. I mean, Megan went through all that. My daughter just had our second grandchild, Rory. Wonder how I was going to get that in there today, but I got it in there. But feeling the birth pangs, and we think, oh, is it now? Is it now? But we knew that Rory was on the way. That he was just around the corner. Because we had all the signs, and we had the promise. And the promise was sticking right out there. And that promise got further and further out there. I've wondered, when does that happen, that it crosses the line where it becomes public property and people at the mall can just come up and touch a woman's stomach? I've wondered about that. I mean, they shouldn't do that, but strangers just come up and is there some imaginary line? All right. In this story in the book of Acts, first part of chapter 5, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. We'll deal with that another day. And their disobedience. But then a great awe comes over the church. And the power of God begins to take place. And beginning in verse 12, we see the power of God becomes evident. Signs and wonders begin to take place. Things that only the Lord could do. People were being healed. People were being saved. I mean, we saw on the day of Pentecost at 3,000. And the scripture says that many, many more came to know Jesus. So that there was healing that was taking place. There was salvation that was taking place. People that had been possessed by demons were being delivered from those demons. And God was doing wonderful things that they were being set free. Man, you set people free like that, you get the shackles off of them. And man, they'll feel like they're going to fly. Fly right out of the room. I mean, that kind of stuff was happening. Signs and wonders. Power of God was evident. Secondly, the Jewish leaders became very jealous. They were looking at all this happening and said, man, we're supposed to be the religious people. We're the ones with all the education. We're the ones that have the power and the position. And yet, these ignorant followers of this Galilean, they're getting all the press. Why not us? Third thing. So they dispatched some people to go throw the apostles, Peter and the apostles, into prison. That's always the answer. Go arrest them. Well, during the night, it happens again. An angel comes and sets them free. In verse 19, it says, but during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the gates of the prison and taking them out. It didn't just stop there. Let me say to you a little footnote on the side here. When God does a power encounter in your life, when He does one of those great things where He gets your attention, there's a healing, there's some powerful thing that takes place in your life, He's not doing that for your entertainment. It's a little shot across the bow to lean in and listen closely. So we lean in. And here is what God says. go stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of this new life. I like the NIV translation. That's the New American Standard. New American Standard is my favorite translation. But the NIV does a better job translating the Greek on this verse. It says, go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. So they're instructed by God to tell people all about this new life. Now, had they been trained? Had they had the seminars? Had they had the build up and everything? And they said, just go do it. Go tell them. Number six, they were obedient. They did exactly what the Spirit of God told them to do. So they, at daybreak, Scripture says at daybreak, they entered into the temple and they started doing exactly what God had told them to do. So, meanwhile, back at the ranch, the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, they're having a meeting. And they're discussing what had happened the day before. Man, these guys, we got to do something with these guys. They're a pain in the neck. We've got to bring them in here. So they go to get them from the prison. Guess what? Guards are standing there. Nothing's out of order. But when they go in, poof. The apostles are gone. What's happened? So that angel must have used some kind of Star Wars cloaking device or something to get them through there. I mean, God can do whatever He wants to do. So He got them through there and no one knew that. And so this other guy comes in and said, man, the guys you're looking for, they're over there at the temple. I mean, this has got to be embarrassing. They're at the temple and they're teaching and preaching about this Jesus again. Oh, man. Really wind them up. So, they brought them in, and what do? They threaten them. They threaten them. Man, if you don't stop this, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Well, Peter, in verse 29, he and the apostles answer this way, say, hey guys, we've got to obey God rather than men. So what's Peter just told? It doesn't matter what you say, what you do, we're going to do what God told us to do. Let me put a note out here to the sidebar. What if the church in America answered that way? What would happen to our country overnight? It'd never be the same. It'd never be the same. Because we'd be a people who couldn't be threatened or bought off. It's one of the things, Dr. Coyle, one of my professors in college, he used to say that over and over again. He said, there's only one group of people that you throughout history that you couldn't really threaten effectively. And that's followers of Jesus. Oh, that would be our indictment today. So they're threatened. But they said, well, we've got to obey God. And then he follows it up by sharing the gospel with them. You know, he goes through this. Listen to this. Imagine they're listening to this. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus. Man, they won't hear it. And there's a bunch of Sadducees in there. Bunch of Sadducees. And Sadducees did not believe in what? Resurrection. So, bang, right out the gate, he's just alienated probably 80% of the Sanhedrin. Right there at the beginning. They're gone. They're so mad. They're probably ripping the clothing at this point. Whom you put to death by hanging him on a cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand And now he's going to quote some scripture. A prince and a savior to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. Oh man, they're screaming, stop it, stop it, stop it. Don't tell us anymore. We don't want to hear about this guy because we don't believe in Jesus. And Peter said, and we are witnesses of these things. Ooh, now get this. And so is the Holy Spirit. So they put themselves right in there with God. They're speaking the truth. Whom God has given to those who obey Him. And by this time, there's been plenty of evidence in the city of Jerusalem that the Holy Spirit has come and He's alive and well and the miraculous is happening. So, then Gamaliel. Anybody remember Gamaliel? Remember him? His first distinction in Scripture is this. Saul, who later became Paul, sat at the feet of Gamaliel. I mean, this guy he's way up there. He is, he's one that a leader that they all listen to. And he essentially tells them, he says, wait a second, boys. Before you try to stamp out this fire, he's talking to the Sanhedrin, and you spread it by trying to put it out, hell, you need to consider this. Remember Theotis? He had 400 followers. Another guy, Judas of Galilee, rose up. Both of those just petered away. Now get his reasoning, what he says. He says, let's see what happens to this movement, this Jesus stuff. But if it's the real thing, there's not a thing you can do about it because God's behind it. Let me footnote back to my first statement, my presuppositions for the message today. Do we really believe that God is in it? Do we? So, the apostles then are warned and released. I think they beat them too. They flogged them, verse 40, and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then they released them. And then they leave that place, and are they downcast? Are they disappointed? Are they thinking that they missed out on something? The Scripture says they rejoice for the privilege of suffering for the name. Whew. When's the last time you thanked God for the privilege of suffering for His name? Now, is that some sadistic religion we're talking about? No! It is an acknowledgement. Hey, the Sanhedrin really does understand that we belong to Jesus. Hey, when your devout enemy calls you out and gets it right and nails you, these people belong to Jesus. What a compliment. That's not a curse. That's a compliment. I belong to Him. And it's clear to everybody. That's why they could rejoice. So, here's the result. The result comes in 542 that we quote a lot. And day after day, this is the NIV, and man, the NIV translators did a great job with this. This is right on the money. This is the best rendering of this verse of all the translations that I looked at. Day after day in the temple court, and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. So, what does that say? Well, it says, first of all, day after day, that was their method. That daily method. It wasn't some religion that they put on once a week or 1 hour a week. That always tickled me years ago when I first started pastoring. And I'll just share you a little pastoral insight here. You sit there, and I have people that they come for, it was the traditional 11 o'clock service, and they start looking at their watches. And I thought, you hadn't done anything else this whole week that even comes close to belonging to God, and now you're going to look at your watch when people are praising the Lord and reading Scripture and talking about Jesus? Don't be an embarrassment to yourself. I mean, you might become a crispy critter. I mean, God might just decide, man, I'm tired of you profaning my name. That was a big surprise to me, by the way. Their method, they lived out their new life. Remember this new life that God spoke to them back in verse 20? Go back to that, John, so we can read that 5:20 again. Go stand in the temple courts. He said, tell the people all about this new life. Okay, here's this new life. Back to method. Their method was an everyday method. It's what they lived. Because in reality, what you live is what you believe. Rick gave us the lesson this morning on Greek and Hebrew thought, and that unity of your life, it dictates that. What you live, that's really what you believe. Second, it says they were in the temple courts and house to house. You know, we 2020 vision, Acts 2020, you know, we preach that all the time, both publicly and house to house. Well, here it is again. And multiple times it's in Scripture. They were missional. Their new life, because, you know, what mission are you on? What's the mission of your life? Let me tell you. I can look at your checkbook. I can look at where you go and how you spend your time, and I'll tell you what your mission is. And for most Americans, it's all about this. That's your mission. The one that dies with the most stuff wins, right? Right? How much did he leave, preacher? All of it. All of it. So, public and private. Their mission was shown in their public lives. They were out in this public place in the temple. That was a place where they could meet with people. I mean, it was like, all around it, there was this commerce and everything was just right there. And so they had an automatic audience that they could come and influence. So they were doing it in this public way, and they were doing it house to house. They were doing it privately. They were doing it one-on-one. Third thing. And the new life was their mission. Because you see, Jesus had done something and changed them. Third thing is that their manner. They never stopped. There's a verb there, and it's really hard. This construction is hard to bring over into English and to make it all work and fit without looking at the original language structure of it. But they never stopped. It was continuous action. The manner of their life is nothing stopped them. Well, if someone beating the tar out of you, flogging you, threatening you with your life, threatening your family, doing all, if that doesn't stop you, what's going to stop you? So nothing got in their way. They didn't let circumstances get in the way of their Christianity and their practice of their faith and of this new life. Number four, the means. They showed people how to have this new life. And how'd they do it? They did it by teaching. And it said, the Scripture says they never stopped teaching. Well, does that mean they stood at a lectern all those times? How were they teaching? And that's right. They were teaching by their example, by their life. You know, that was one way. St. Francis of Assisi, that great quote. Does anybody know what I'm about to say? Share the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Because what are people looking at? They're looking at that DVD, your life being played out before them. They're seeing that. They were teaching everything they did. They did it by example. They did it by speaking to people. They took every opportunity because, back to number two, they were missional. This was their mission in life. This is why I'm here. What does every wag that gets on a talk show late at night, what's everyone that's already got enough money and enough all that stuff, what do they start talking about? What is the meaning of life and why am I here? And they get off into all this stuff. I mean, Tom Cruise, off into all this junk that he's gotten. John Denver. I mean, you know, can I smoke something? Can I take something? Can I be with a group of people? A friend of mine years ago, some of y'all knew this guy, I won't say his name, but I talked to him. He was seeking, and last time I talked to him, he said he was out in the deserts of Nevada. He said, we're in a circle every night around the campfire beating the drum. Well, wait, didn't tell me. The other thing was all he was smoking at the time is, but what's he looking for? He's looking to fill that hole that's in his life. You see, that's what everybody's looking for. And we have the answer through our teaching. And it says, and proclaiming the good news. That's all one word in the original language. It comes from the word to evangelize, euangelion. It means to gospelize people. That's a new word. Put it down, Rick. Rick coins all these new words and all. We're going to have the Rick version sometime of all things that he comes up with. I mean, he's brilliant. Because they say it. I got a little nugget that fell off of his desk there. They gospelized. They evangelized. And that means you do it with your life. You do it with what you say. You do it with your influence. You use your leverage in their lives as an opportunity not to choke somebody, trip them up, and trick them into something, but to share Jesus with them. Number five. And what was the message? The message is this new life only comes through one, the Messiah. Let me ask you this. Is the fact, go to Jerusalem right now. Is the world concerned about Jerusalem right now? Huh? Are they? If you don't know the answer to that question right there, you need to get out more. Let me ask you this. Just experiment. Get you a plane ticket. Go to Tel Aviv. Take your bus over to Jerusalem. Walk over to the Temple Mount and holler out, Jesus is the Messiah! What do you think is going to happen to you? Are they going to do it at Oglethorpe Mall, and what are people going to do? Man, he's nuts. Right on to Sears. And if you get to be enough of the obnoxious, they'll call one of the mall cops, they'll come around on the and pull you over, you know, blue light you right there. And some of you just revealed you watch too many movies. All right? You with me? All right. But you go and shout that Jesus is Messiah at the Temple Mount. Let me tell you, you're going to have everybody mad with you. The Muslim guards are going to be around there. Their jugular veins are going to pop out. The rabbis, the Jewish rabbis there, what jugular veins that are left, theirs are going to pop out. Everybody's going to be angry with you because that is a divisive statement. when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. New life comes only through Him. So, here are your questions. What new life are you living out every day? What's the new year going to be like for you? Number two, is your new life evident both in private and in public? Oh, preacher, I just have a private faith. And if you're expecting to go to heaven, you hope when your name, you hope one, number one, that you get to go, and your name gets called. And you want them to shout it, don't you? Don't you want Jesus to say, I know you? And that doesn't mean, and please don't understand me with this, oh man, that everybody's got to be gregarious and out there and all. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying every one of us has to share. We have to. There's no choice about that. Number three, what circumstances are standing in the way? What's standing in the way of in 2017 of your life being different from than it was in 2016? This new life really being realized. Number four, are you influencing people toward or away from Jesus? Give you another familiar quote. Mahatma Gandhi, what'd he say? I would have become a Christian had I not known so many Christians. Are you moving them toward Jesus or away? And finally, do you really have new life? Have you really cut the deal with Jesus? Have you really, is He really in your life? Now I'm telling you, this message that you've received, part of it at 9:30 and part of it at 11 today, there's no way you can leave here and say, oh, Lord isn't talking to me. I'm talking to some people that have known Jesus a long time. I'm talking to some people that God wants to do something different in you this year. You can't attend enough. You can't adopt other people's principles enough. You can't do any of that. You got to let Him. It's personal. What's He saying to you? What's He saying to you? Those guys in that prison, angel comes and opens the door, but then they hear God's voice. What's He saying to you? What has He said to you? To you about this message today. The new year is upon us. It's time to put the old in the past and embrace what the Holy Spirit is doing right now. What's He doing in you? We're going to open the altar. And we're not going to have any music. We're going to spend this time in quiet before the Lord. Pastors will be here if you want to pray with one of us. If you want to go get someone and come and pray here, what I want there to be right now is the hum of our prayers before the Lord. Okay? I want that to be the noise. What is God speaking to you about what you've heard today? These five questions. What are your answers to them? Let's bow our heads. And the altar's open. You can come on now. Lord, I'll say to you right now, Lord, we have been a disobedient people. So many times, Lord, we have not had the pleasure of the Lord on our lives. We're asking you now, Lord, for your forgiveness. Lord, as we embrace what this verse of Scripture, this Acts 5:42 says, Lord, we're asking you, come. Come right now. Come and speak to us. Move in us right now. In Jesus' name. As we continue our prayer for the Lord. Does anyone here need salvation? You've never received Jesus in your life? Anybody? I'd like to pray with you. Anybody here that has a loved one, a family member that is not a believer? They need the Lord today. Will you put your hand up? Lord, we're praying for these right now. We're praying for their salvation. And Lord, since we're beginning the prayer, we're putting ourselves as your instruments in their lives. Use us, Lord, and any others in their lives, in Jesus' name. Do you need healing? Does anybody need healing? Right now, put your hands up. Oh, Lord. Need healing? Believe God can heal you? Lord, we're praying right now for the, you'll come. Come, great physician. Come right now and touch. Remove the disease. Remove the emotional healing that needs to take place in some right now. I'm asking you to do that right now in Jesus' name. Lord, those who have back problems right now, I'm asking you to come and touch that spine, Lord, and bring you healing. For those who have just not feeling good right now, Lord, and need you to come, Lord, I'm asking you, come with your healing right now, Jesus. Is anyone that feels oppressed today by the evil one and his demons? You feel oppression in your life. He's after you. Okay. All right. Lord, we're praying right now. We're praying that you will come and bind the enemy, that he will not have authority right now. Come, Lord. Bind him right now. We're praying for your release right now. Do you have family members or friends that are under deep oppression from the enemy right now? Would you put your hands up? Lord, we're asking you right now that you'll come. We're praying first and foremost that these people will cooperate with the healing of God, will cooperate with the deliverance of the Lord in their lives. Thank you. Who needs a blessing from the Lord? Hey, we got two people in this room right now that have been blessed with an answer to prayer. One of them is Stephen. Where are you, Stephen? See, he's in the back. He got a job. David got a job yesterday. Praise the Lord. Yeah, let's praise the Lord. God did. So, do you need a blessing from the Lord? Well, let's pray for it. Lord, we're asking you to come. Come right now. With your blessing and with your power. And Lord, if we've put up a blockade in between you and that blessing coming to us, Lord, right now show it to us so we can remove that and open up the conduit so we can receive what the Lord wants to do in our lives. Right now, in Jesus' name, do you believe He can do it? Amen. Amen. Now look this way. This way. Has the Lord touched you today? You felt His power today? Some people in your life need this same power? Look next to you. Who's sitting next to you? Who should be sitting next to you? This row ought to be full. We got seats available. And we got people going to hell. This ain't rocket science. This ain't rocket science. All right. I want to bless you today. By the way, that 542, Acts 542, you're going to hear it a lot. That's our theme verse for the year. So mark it down. All right. Do you need some joy? Anybody need some joy in your life? Let's put you. Yeah, Julie's got two hands up right now. Joy. Lord, we're asking you. Terry prayed about that river of love, that love flowing and the baptism of love. Lord, we're praying for joy and joy unspeakable to come. Lord, not that we'll be the plastic, giddy, fakey kind of Christians, but Lord, real people who are really in love with Jesus and love His people. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You receive that? All right. Now, the baskets are here. And if you here at front and in the back, and we'll receive those offerings right now. If you have cards to bring, we'll receive those right now. I got one more thing to tell you. I'm going to tell you how I'm praying right now. Sometimes I don't tell you how I'm praying. But I'm praying right now that I'm going to get a phone call from somebody I don't know this week. And the phone call is going to go like this. You know, preacher, what happened to that person that's in your church? They're different. That's my prayer. That's my prayer this week. I want to get one of those phone calls. It says, man, they've got joy. Their lives are different. I want to get one of those phone calls. All right. Come up here, Donnie.
Now you've done it.
He's been wanting all of y'all to see this Seahawks tie. And I want to give him his spot in the sun today before he leaves here.
I thought it was
Bless y'all. Go in grace.